You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron. Wayne Fritz is going to be out this week, but he'll be back next week. So that gives us room. Everybody can see we have a special guest with us today. We have Amanda England out in California and Northern California, and she's the president of the Epic Group, and she does a lot of branding and business growth strategies for brands and athletes. And so, Amanda, welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show. How's it going?
It's going well. We've got some sunshine here after quite a few storms, so I'm excited to be in the sun.
Great. Super. You know, so we had talked a little bit about this pre-production phone calls and whatnot, and I have certainly have our outline here. Yeah, on the show, we've talked about certain things, but you're going to bring a level of breadth and depth that we really haven't got. As you know, we've had Jim West on the phone, you know, near and dear to your family and whatnot, and, you know, talked about his perspectives on training and coaching. Also, you know, James Krause and others. Other fighters talk about their experiences. Of course, you know, James Krause with his kind of multi-tiered the life that he leads. Fantastic guy. And so I really appreciate your willingness to come on the show, because I think you're going to really kind of fill in a lot of the gaps for us in terms of the branding and representation and the kind of the fundamentals that fighters need. So anyway, I'm real excited to have you on the show and kind of hit the ground running, I guess. So let's talk about some of those general things. You talk about branding, web design, and your different affiliates or different types of things, Broncos and Drip RX. Kind of give us an overview of what you're doing. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so my background was not in branding formally or marketing. I was in sales, and as the years went by, it's sales and marketing kind of coincide together, or they go in conjunction. I was in the telecom industry. But through my affiliation with Aspen and what her needs were, I found that I was growing into more of a marketing branding expert, if you will. You can throw that term around loosely. I had ideas and strategies that over time became proven. And through my contacts and those ideas and strategies, I was able to work with anywhere from like a sweatband, which works a lot with weight cutting in the MMA world. So that's Strip RX. My affiliation with iHeartMedia, designing and kind of reconstructing with my partner Bosavis their layout for their sales decks for
and kind of tell our listeners and our viewers who Aspen is. And
well, she is currently ranked the number 4 women's bantamweight UFC fighter.
Aspen Ladd, right?
Aspen Ladd, LADD. Okay. Look out for her little brother, Shaylor Ladd, who is currently 4-0 in his amateur career and getting ready to fight March 13th of 2022. Good. Again, Aspen is fighting April 9th, 2022.
And folks, let me just say, I had the pleasure of eating dinner with Shaylor a while back. And man, this kid, you know, I've been tracking him myself. I mean, I've seen after workout pictures of him and seeing some post fight stuff with him. So he really is going to be a one to watch. A fine young man, just a real good, I don't want to say kid, but you know, real good guy, and looking forward to seeing what all he brings to the sport. But please go ahead.
No, I think Shaylor's a great example. Shaylor's someone. So here's what I found. Aspen came to me, and at that time she was number 3 in the world. She had just injured herself and had surgery.
Right.
There's no money coming in. If you're an MMA fighter, I don't care what level you're at, unless the UFC is paying you or you have sponsors, and that's through branding yourself or being a title holder, you have to create a business. And in order to create a business, you have to brand yourself. Aspen had not done that. she had asked me to, you know, find her sponsors. And I said, well, you know, what does your team think? You have a whole team. Now, I was naive, and I'm looking at it. I've worked with NFL organizations and been affiliated with some NBA. And when you sign a contract, your agent also represents you in a way where you are handling the media. You get media training. You they set you up with financial planning or financial education. Then they all are the people that handle your. So I walk into this MMA world, and I'm originally from Dallas. So I'm I'm a football fan over a MMA fan, but I quickly inundated myself into that world. And, you know, I let people know, I asked the questions I needed to ask, and I let them know kind of in some way my ignorance on that. And come to find out, there's a difference between your manager, your fight manager, and your representation. And a lot of these fighters don't know that. They, what most people don't realize is for every coach, you're getting charged a percentage.
Right.
For your fight manager, you're giving them a percentage. So let's say that you're paying your fight manager 20%, and but then you've got to pay your coaches, your boxing coach 5%, or your strength and conditioning coach another 5%. So that adds up very quickly. I believe the starting salary in the, or the start, not even a salary, but the starting UFC match purse is to show. And I believe that's 12 grand, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. That goes away really quickly.
Really quick.
And the thing with UFC or MMA in general that I found is that it's the difficulty level of getting sponsors is because with NBA, MLB, all of these other professional athletes, they have a set schedule. They know when they're going to play.
True.
They have moral clauses in their contracts that they have to abide to and uphold to.
Right.
They're in a union. So the organization is the one that really takes the responsibility if anything goes. And so what I found through some of these sponsors is, number one, combat sports is it's got a stigma to it. Up until ABC and the UFC have started to mainstream it.
Right.
And then, you know, ESPN and during COVID,
right.
You know, you're watching, the only thing you can watch is a fight, but it still has a stigma. Right. Sponsors don't want to necessarily align themselves with the type of athletes that don't have a clause to uphold.
Right.
Never know when they're going to fight.
Right.
So it's difficulty. There's some difficulty in branding yourself and getting yourself out there.
I want to ask you a question, and you may not know, but this is one thing I've noticed between men and women fighters, men and women UFC fighters. And this is Bruce Cameron talking. This isn't you talking or anybody else. It's Bruce here. But I've noticed that there seems to be a little bit more tolerance for women fighters. For instance, you can be a win one, lose one fighter, still be in the UFC a long ass time. Some of these men do that, or if they lose two in a row, you know what I mean, or three in a row, they're one fight away from being a Bellator fighter or whatever. do you have any thoughts on that in terms of tolerance and gender differences, or this is just me talking up my nose?
I mean, it's a great point, a great observation. I don't know if that is factual. I mean, as far as I haven't seen the metrics.
Sure,
I will tell you that it's supply and demand. You've probably got more fighters that are men than you have fighters that are women from a pool.
For sure.
So, you know, you've got a male fighter that doesn't, he's not marketing himself. I mean, what most people don't realize is the UFC, they look at the metrics. They pull the records from social media.
Engagement,
that's a big part of how they pick these fights and matchups on who's getting a pay-per-view show versus, you know, an Apex.
For instance, I'm sorry, Nate Diaz, one of your California guys, Bakersfield guy, Nate Diaz loses every fight. His head bleeds. Bro, you could blow in his eye and he's just gushing blood from his head. But yet, right? Nate Diaz lives to see another day on some card. Why is that? You know, why just people love him, or particularly people from Arizona West love Nate Diaz. Again, this is just Bruce Cameron talk, but you know what I'm saying? It's the metrics.
Yeah, and you know, the crazy thing with Nate Diaz and Nick is they have like a love-hate with the sport, yep. From what I understand. They don't really market themselves. Phenomenal jiu-jitsu, but it's the fact that they at one point they represented the guys that you're, you know, from the wrong side of the tracks that somebody said is never going to make it. They right. made it, and they did it in a brutal fashion. Now, and when I say they made it to the main stage.
Sure.
And they fought. They didn't give up. They didn't tap out. They didn't right. take the easy, loss. And they fought hard on the wins. But they were willing to put everything out there. What I've come to understand about the sport of MMA, whether it's jiu-jitsu, whether it's boxing, I mean, mixed martial arts, is that it's a brutal training schedule. Sure. A lot of these kids, and I call them kids,
right.
or even young adults, people. I mean, Marion Renault didn't start her professional career until 34 years old.
Right. She just retired, right? Yeah.
She just retired this past year. Her retirement fight was against Misha Tate.
Sacramento with you guys, that area?
No, she's out of Visalia. She runs a jiu-jitsu or MMA gym out of Visalia, California. Right. That's actually has a great kids and women's program.
Is that in Northern Cal or Central?
That's Southern. Well, I would call that Central, going Central California more, okay. but more South.
Okay.
But you know, these kids, like, so for instance, Shaylor, he works for his father, and he works from 8 a.m. to and leaves his father about 30 minutes away from his training, but leaves around 3, has his first training session at 5 p.m. and doesn't get home until after 8 p.m. most nights. Yeah. That's 5 days a week.
Sure. That's what it takes.
There's costs that are associated with that. When sure. you're just starting out as an amateur, there's no one else but you paying for it. And so it's blood, sweat, and tears, literally. Right. And that's why I think going back to your point about Nate Diaz or the Diaz Army or Diaz.
Right.
I think if you're in the world of mixed martial arts, I don't care who you are, you're not just stepping on a mat one time and you're becoming a champion or a superstar. It is a grind, a literal grind.
Absolutely. Well, let's get back on the coaches, like you said, and I, you know, I think I can quote Jim West, you know, say, hey, coaching is coaching. I'm a coach, and you know. And fighters need the other end of the branding and representation or fight managing and whatever. So let's talk about your role as either the business, like as business manager for Aspen or another fighter.
So, well, Aspen is a little different. I'm actually her full business manager. When I got into this, I was just doing a favor. It quickly evolved into something that I found that I had some talent in for athletes. I'd done it for companies, large Fortune 100 and 500 right. companies. We'd do events or branding or rebranding and go-to-market strategies for new products. But now my product is a human being. In a combat sport that has that is very polarizing and has stigma. First things first is she said, can I get sponsors? I need sponsors. Okay, great. So you start local, regional, then you go national. Easier said than done when you have a combat athlete that you've got you're not picking up the phone and calling Nike, you know. I had to really look at who, for instance, Aspen was. Now, a fighter typically of Aspen's caliber is training 5 to 7 hours a day, 5 days a week. And when I say training, that's including recovery. That's cardio and then your weights. So the demands on their time is already at pushing to the limits. And I looked at, with Aspen in particular, she had no media training. She didn't have any sponsors. She had an Instagram page that had, I think, at that time, 128,000 followers, which that's great. But you have to look at their engagement. And then, so can I point somebody that's going to give her money in the direction of asking.
Define what engagement means for our listeners. They might not know that. Engagement.
So, yeah. Engagement. That's great. Great point is engagement is your interaction with your followers. Or when you put a hashtag up, who are you leading to follow? Like if they see a hashtag, are they choosing to follow you? And are you liking it, smiling it, commenting back? It's very important. Engagement, extremely important because it shows, I guess, the, if you could turn the dial. So for the UFC, they look at the engagement and they think, okay, if I have this person on, they're a dial turner. That means I'm going to get pay-per-view views or... Well, she didn't have that. And so just going back, I had to say, okay, well, we're starting from the ground up. And so when business manager, that's what it's evolved into because we've set the tone for her. But for a branding and growth strategist, I looked at, okay, first and foremost, outside of your social media that you have to build a following, where can I find highlights of your fights? Where can I find the most recent radio or interview or podcast? Well, you have to search. There's no YouTube. There's nothing. So I said, okay, first things first. Let's go ahead. Here's your logo, your brand. Choose one that you like. Kind of gave her some five ideas. We happened to do like an A that was also a mountain because that's very, it represents Aspen. The second thing is I created a website. Now, the basis of the website is to take every bit of who Aspen is and turn it into a brandable business. And what I mean by that is what I talked about, their training schedules and their time is maximized already. If I give Aspen a to-do list, she's going to drag her feet to do something that she doesn't want to do or she's not comfortable with. They're already learning new skills day in and day out. In fight camp, they're already pushing their bodies. They're tired. Then when it comes time to weight cutting or dieting, then it's even worse. So I looked at, okay, what are some of the things that Aspen enjoys? She enjoys her dogs. She enjoys hiking. And then she's MMA. I'm going to create a virtual world, almost like of somebody's, if it was a brick and mortar, so business. And so what I did is if you look at her website, theaspenlad.com, I have MMA and then I've got trails and tails. And the reason I did that is because each part of who she is now the business.
Right.
And for tax purposes, of course. I mean, because if you're really branding yourself and turning that brand into a business, you're going to want to set up your business structure in a way that you can benefit from, you know, the tax deductions that an MMA athlete, they're what's called in an outlier form, so they can take different deductions. Well, so I started, so going back to that website, if you look at the trails, what I did is I focused my sponsorship activity on somebody like All Trails. So I have a map in there of Aspen's trails. And then if you click on that, it gives her tips and tricks.
I'm looking at the website now. Very nice. Trails, tails. There's the videography. You know what? I want to say this, and I don't know if you include it or not. Wow, I'm getting these pop-ups. You guys are tracking my – man, y'all are savages. Okay, good job.
I try.
Another thing about her, I think, is that she was on that UFC 3 EA Sports.
UFC 4.
See? UFC 4. My bad. UFC 4. So that'd be great to have some avatars or some stuff that show that she was part of that game. Now, obviously, right, she was or is, you know, a high ranking in her class at the time of publishing that game. Were you involved in that capacity at all or?
I came in right after she didn't go to the UFC. Okay. So going back to the sponsorship. So sure. There is a preconceived notion that UFC athletes cannot get sponsors. You're correct in some.
You just can't wear them on them on your trunks. Yeah.
But so for instance, the UFC will have a contract with, let's say, Monster Energy. Monster Energy says, here's $30,000. And for this $30,000 for these 3 months, I need six athletes. Well, so the UFC tells, pick six athletes, hey, hold it, Monster can. And they get paid But the athletes don't know that what the real contract was. They only know what they get paid. And so that is it. That is in your contract. That is negotiated. Aspen got an opportunity with a betting site recently, and they paid her a set amount to make 3 posts on her and utilize her social media.
Nice.
Now that's or there's the Panini cards where she gets set a set amount. The thing is that's up to the UFC and that sponsor. That is nothing that we negotiate.
Okay.
And so there's a difference there. Now, as far as the UFC EA Sports game, that was already predetermined, and she didn't get paid anything on that. What they do is they track how many times it gets played, and then there's a set amount within that contract that they will pay. From that data, they'll pull, they will pay the player.
Okay.
Or pay the athlete.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not straightforward. I mean, there's things where I literally contacted the CEO of All Trails, because if you go to Aspen's IG page, she's hiking.
Oh yeah.
And he originally said, well, I don't know if that's on brand, or the marketing person said that. And he goes, no, go look at her Instagram. Well, once you get there, you know that she knows the trails. So one of the things that I would advise, and
or even dog food or healthcare or a veterinarian group.
Yep.
Always again, has one or two dogs.
Have the engagement. So you can make these posts. You can get a lot of MMA athletes. The women are on OnlyFans. They're on Patreon. For YouTube, you have to have at least 1,000 subscribers, but then 4,000 hours before you can be verified to get paid on their monetization algorithm. You've got Instagram where you can you can hawk anything. To me, I know my client. That's not Aspen. If she's going to take a picture, or if she is going to write a post, that's taking time out of her not training. And so she's going to do it, and it's got to be done with something that she truly believes in. And in addition to that, if there's a cause, I recommended that if any of these athletes, if there's something that's near and dear to their heart, align yourself with the cause.
Why is that important?
Well, it shows that you're giving back. So you have a platform where you have the ability to take, right? You have the ability to benefit. Why not give back in support of something, and not just something, but something that you can relate to? People will invest in you if they have something to invest in, but you've also got to invest back.
Okay. And obviously, given the love of animals and those, there's plenty of causes.
Well, at that time, she had he passed away December 4th of 2020. Right after she had surgery, she had a shepherd that had to have one of his legs amputated. And we were actually working with the Dodo Network and this show called The Wizard of Paws.
Oh, wow.
Derek Campana, the host of the show, I contacted him. He creates prosthetics for all kinds of animals, ducks, everybody. Knowing that Aspen, we needed this for this dog. We're dog family. We have 3 of our own. And I know Aspen at that time had 3. We reached out to him to see if he could make this, and they never made a successful prosthetic for that large of a dog in the rear, all the way from the hip. And we had just tested the first model of it. And unfortunately there was so much going on that Chevy was his name. He had to be put down.
Yeah.
But from there, it raised an awareness with Aspen. And I said, you know, what do you want to do within your cause? And I said, do you want to raise money to help families because originally we're going to help families get prosthetics for their animals. But through this experience, she had to go to an emergency vet. And when you're going to this specialized emergency vet for when they're getting that point in their life, or they have something that could be life altering, we're listening to families wail and cry in these parking lots. And I looked at Aspen, I said, or maybe you want to help these families that can't, if they don't have the money, that they can to afford the surgery that can have their animal, whatever age, continue to live, maybe we help them.
Right.
And so through her website and some of the clothing designs and the merch, we give back, because again, it's something where she's not taking, or if she is taking, she's giving. And it's something that's powerful to her. I mean, I don't care what your background is. You've got something. I'm big on gratitude, paying it forward, right. Law of attraction. And the thing is you don't get or continue to get unless you give, and you can't give thinking that you're going to get.
That's right. Well, let's move into the YouTube sphere, and you talk about challenges and stuff. So she, because on YouTube there were several movies about her, part one, part two,
seven.
So, yeah. Yes, but who's counting? You're right.
The producer.
There you go. Of course. And I know that Showtime had kind of come out there. I thought Showtime was doing some, or somebody was doing some stuff on site there. And back in 2019, maybe 2020 or whatever. Anyway, so, but now that's all kind of, she has her own YouTube channel now that you are manager of. How's that work? And so, what are the challenges that you talked about?
For a fighter, if you're going to come to a starting point, let's get you a one-page website. Let's get you a logo, find out what you stand for, and then go to YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. That page, it doesn't get as much traction, and marketing companies and sponsors don't really look at it. But definitely the YouTube. Now, with YouTube, you got to realize that you need content. So you need to look at, what is my content planner, or what do I want to get out there? You've got Bryce Mitchell, who is a UFC men's, and I love him to death, but he's got somebody following him around all the time. That's costly. When I did this with Aspen, she didn't fight for 2 years since her last fight.
Right.
Remember, these fighters, if they don't have anything, which is why she came to me, they don't get paid. So just starting out, it depends on what type of personality you are. Are you a selfie person where you're going to film everything? Save it. Film it. Save it. Push it out on YouTube. Push it out on Instagram. Be mindful of when you push it out. But for Aspen's, she's great. She's articulate and she's engaging. But when you're on fight week and you're asking her the same question, she's going to give you the same answers. Right. And so what I started doing was pre-interviewing. And then with the YouTube, I hired someone to come in and film a docuseries. Let's introduce the world to Aspen, and let's do it leading up to the announcement that she is going to be released to train again. Good success in that. It was great.
That was good.
We got what we wanted, the viewership. We still needed the hours.
And another thing I'd like. Of course, you could splice these things right here, put on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to have her come on the show in the future, maybe, and talk about, like, hey, because I have representation, because I have a business manager, another representation, because I have somebody like you, obviously you, taking care of those things for me, it allows me to focus, obviously, on my training and whatever, but also allows me to engage with my fans. And a little bit with the sponsor. So I think that, it's good to hear your perspective, right? As the manager. I don't think anybody's ever talked about, from a fighter's perspective, what a relief that is,
Well, like, she was, when we started this, she did do a couple interviews and they asked her about it. And the well-known media outlets would say, I know fighters that are 30, 35 years old, and they don't have any of this set up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They don't even have a business set up.
Right.
Let's say you're not even branding yourself. You still need to be a business. How are you going to categorize yourself? Aspen is categorized. She's a corporation.
Right.
And we did that for very specific reasons. Good. But you've got to look at what your minimum deductions are and what your maximum deductions are, just as an individual. We live in California. Okay. I mean, I'm from the great state of Texas. That's how you and I know each other. But I moved to California and I'm looking at state tax going, woo. So now if you're a business.
As a matter of fact, the owner of LA Talk Radio and also today my producer, we talked about that very thing. God love you people in California for putting up with some of the BS you guys have to do. But that's another show.
I'm so, yes.
But boy, let me tell you, and that I feel your pain, you know, and you know, I stayed in Texas, and obviously, anyway, it's not pretty like what you guys have out there, but it sure is easy to live here, man. And the money's good and the taxes are better. So anyway.
Well, you don't know what you don't know, right? And so I know different, but a lot of Californians, this is what they know. I mean, $5 a gallon. But just let's go back to that on your deductions or your setup of a business. I mean, even as an individual, you're paying a lot. And then as a business, you're paying a lot. Right. So as soon as you are making money, as soon as you, I mean, are spending money that is to the point where you can now deduct it, I think you really need to look at, if you don't understand it or you're not educated on it, find somebody to educate you or educate yourself, because you really need to look at this as a business. I mean, I think, I don't know what the statistics are, but I think it's like 1 out of 10 fighters actually go into a pro. And I don't mean UFC, it's pro. And even then, you're signing a contract, but you still have travel costs. I mean, for instance, the UFC, they pay for one additional hotel to Aspen, and they pay for flights. But you're coming out of pocket for everything, nutrition.
And you know, you know the struggle, man. Sometimes family can go to the fight. Sometimes family can't go to the fight.
Yeah.
And in a COVID era, you have the Nevada Gaming Commission and others that really regulate how many people can be in the Apex and how many people can't be in the, and so, man, and the rules change as a moving goalpost. It's really frustrating, but you're right. As a supporter or family member or whatever, you're gonna spend a lot of your own money.
Well, but you know, for instance, Aspen's lucky. She had a very supportive family. You think the Diaz brothers, I mean, let's point to them, because you brought him, Nick Diaz, up earlier. Like, kids that get to do that and they have training through their entire life, they're very fortunate. But that's not the story of all.
Right.
And so, now, I always say that, I mean, I've got my own story. But I always say that I don't wear it as a chip on my shoulder or as a badge of honor. It's my story. But for somebody, if I look at from opportunity, I want to know your story. Who can identify and who can relate to your story? Sure. And let's look at that. But so, I mean, Instagram was great because it allowed people a chance to hear her story. I wanted to do a follow-up, but due to facts of fighting, again, that's where income comes in, significant income. That was on the list of, you know, priorities. It was further down.
Right.
But what I did is I created a whole strategy on, we're going to do this, 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 and this. I created 20 different dominoes and they started to fall. One of the things I had to learn though is fight camp is tricky. Mm-hmm. A lot of these fighters. They don't know how to juggle, the demands. Most athletes, they just want to train and they want to play the game.
Right.
Coaches want you to stay in their lane because coaches notoriously they've got tunnel vision. I look at it and I'm like, okay, we all need a plan. Let's work together. And this is what we're going to formulate. And this is how I'm going to execute.
One of the things about Aspen that even, you know, I'm a fight fan person for years now, and I, you know, have an eye, or at least my own opinion of an eye for things. Anyhow, long story short, but you know, even seeing Aspen fight, you know, before 19, and you hear her talk and you think, wow, you know, how did, because she's just, like you said, she's just, and her voice has a higher register than you might think. You know what I mean? Her voice is a higher register, you know, AKA a little bit, you know, very feminine, if you will, you know, kind of a higher register voice. And you hear this you hear her talking and like she's articulate, whatever. And then you think, how in the hell did this person get involved in fighting? Right? Because she's this all-American girl kind of thing. She looks the part. She certainly sounds the part with her regiment. And then, like you said, on one of those videos, she talked about how she got into fighting and how that happened for her. Yeah. And so I think that's something that people that are new to her kind of want to, that's probably one of the questions they have is like, good Lord, you know, how did this person get in?
The number one question. So I did a couple of things with that. I mean, for every athlete that's going to get into fighting, I suggest you make that right now. Put the visual, whether you're setting up a camera and pressing record, think about it, right? Look at it from the perspective of what somebody's going to want to know about you. Yeah. Maybe not today, but visualize when you're to that point where you're signing that first contract and you want people to engage with you. You want them to invest their time, not necessarily their money at this point.
Exactly.
And what do they want to know? And you got to ask yourself that. And knowing that, and so we did that, but also knowing that YouTube, I needed 6,000 hours in order to monetize YouTube. I said, you know what? I've got a great idea for a podcast. So I created the podcast Victory Loves Company. And I used the platform StreamYard because I could multicast and add up those hours for Aspen's YouTube. So I asked her coach who had wanted to play around with some broadcasting. And so this was a great way to get, you know, practice. But then I previously formed a relationship with the MMA personality, a media personality, James Lynch of MMA News, multiple outlets. And so every week we had a guest. We had Forrest Griffin was our first guest. I booked Chael Sonnen. I broke the news about Miesha Tate coming back out of retirement.
Really?
But I was producer and creator of that. I still have it.
Get me their numbers.
What?
Just give me their numbers. Just kidding.
You know, you'd be surprised. I mean, I hunted these people down. I just sent emails because I'm not verified.
Yeah.
Aspen's got that blue verification, but I'm very mindful about how I utilize her name.
Sure.
Or if her social, I let them know that it is me and why I'm reaching out. Because with these athletes, everybody from the get-go, from everybody's taking, I think with anybody that's got some kind of, I don't want to, fame or infamy, something to give, money, whatever it may be, prestige, somebody's grabbing at you. Look at, you're an athlete now. Everybody thinks that you're making these NFL
money or whatever.
Type of contract money. But literally you're just giving everything that you have. And it's not likened to any other professional sports that I've been around. The contracts are different. The players and their roles are different. It is a very cutthroat world for little money. I mean, the only thing next, the other sport that I can actually equate it to would be boxing. But boxing, I mean, they make there's more money in boxing than, you know, there is five MMA, top 10 MMA fighters can make.
Yeah. And there's a wave of that, you know, not so much with the females, but people like Platinum, Mike Perry, mm-hmm. Tyron Wood, people that have gotten lesser performing or out of UFC doing these staged fights. I think Platinum Mike Perry, he's classic. I mean, he's a game changer. You may remember this, but 2 years ago, he was in a fight in Vegas, and he fired his corner man for the fight and had his girlfriend come out with a bucket.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do. Said,
if I can't get paid. Platinum can't get paid. My taxes get paid. And he's the perfect example of a guy who was already upside down in his money before he knew it. Of course, he lost three fights in a row. Boom, gets bounced. In Dallas, his fight with some schmo was the opening act for Metallica.
Oh, wow.
And he made $40,000.
But so here's the thing. If you're willing to do that, that's great. If you're willing to be a Paige Van Zandt, that's great.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and no Paige Van Zandt. That's for damn sure. Yeah.
Woo! But no. Yeah. But that's the thing is, like, there's a level of frustration. So if you and I, or a baseball player, a football player, hockey player,
Right.
You have an off night. You have an off night.
Yeah.
You get to come back next week, or if you're in baseball later on this in the week, and you get to do it again.
Yeah, because you play like 80 games in a season. Yeah, whatever, 100 games.
I think baseball is 150.
Yeah,
actually.
Thank you. Just testing.
Sorry. But no, these fighters, they go through 3 months of camp. Let me give you an example. So in 2018, Aspen was almost in literal camp for the entire year because of different fights falling out.
That's right.
Yeah. Your body is tired.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting paid. And so you look at her coming out to this last fight against Macy Chassain. She was in camp for 3 months, and Macy pulled out. She had to be in another camp for another 3 months. That's a long camp. Mentally, you're tired. Physically,
you know,
you're tired.
And I had Jim on the show. We talked about that. I mean, I want to spend just maybe 20 mm-hmm. seconds, if you want. I mean, was that part of it? She was just so mentally fatigued that, I mean, she almost looked like she was in a different zone. Anyway, but yeah, poor thing.
No, I don't want to comment on Aspen and what her feelings or thoughts were going in that. I mean, because I can't identify.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a professional athlete
sure.
where I've got the weight of the world seemingly on my back,
for
where
sure.
I've signed a contract, where right. my body has been broken, and I think it's mending, but I don't know yet because I haven't tested it in battle.
Right.
I mean, I have empathy, so
sure.
I can put it to you that way right now. But it's something that a psyche of an athlete, in my opinion, is something that you have to tread lightly on those things in her head. If you they're reading too much social media, it can. I mean, how can it not mess with you?
Sure, that's true.
You know, I think it was a perfect storm of things. I mean, I didn't realize there was such a thing as ring rust. Until I got into MMA, and it's a real thing. Because you know that it's an organized fight. You know it's an organized fight. If I've always wondered if I was to get attacked or approached, what would I do? Fight or flight? You know, what would my mode be?
Yeah.
I'm a survivor. I know I would fight.
Right.
But when you have an organized, How do people get in that
sure.
headspace if you are not constantly thinking that you've got to fight the world? So Kat put that on by an injury, and then whatever else that goes on in an athlete's personal life and then professional life, there's got to be some kind of stress. But I will tell you that the world today and the medications, the vaccinations, the sickness, the disease, everything that's just climate, everything that comes in, I think affects our bodies differently than they did even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I think the stress of things, the anxiety, I think,
it's more profound.
That we have to look at that, like being locked in and, you know, there could be a lot of things and a lot of factors,
yeah.
But I will say that the mental toughness of these athletes is huge. Platinum Mike Perry, if he's going to fire his corner, he damn well should fire his corner if he wants to, because there's a level of frustration when you have one night at minimum 15 minutes to prove yourself.
Right.
You
got to pay that corner, and you got to pay your corner.
That's 5%. That's
5%,
unless you negotiated something different. That's 5%.
Hey, I think you're the first person I've ever talked to who said, yeah, man,
fire your corner. Here's the thing is, you look at somewhere like the Apex, you can hear everything.
Yeah.
Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to look through? I mean, soldiers say, who do I want in the foxhole with me?
Sure. No, it was the right choice. And then they subsequently married. She had a child shortly after. It's a wonderful story. So,
good for him. I mean, good for him. And I think that there's, you know, we talked about representation and management.
Right.
These managers are managing a lot of fighters. So unless they have a program in place, you're not getting that one-on-one. And if you are getting on that one-on-one, you're paying out the wazoo from that, for that from the beginning.
Right.
Whereas somebody like myself, there are some set fixed costs,
right,
but let's make you some money so I can make some money. That's how I look at it. Yeah. And, but I'm not going to, everybody else is taken. I want to give and allow them to give. And then I'll take right, what's fair.
Excellent. Hey, I know you mentioned Chris Cyborg. We got about 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
So I get a few things. Chris Cyborg, what is your overlap with her?
So I do her Drip RX ads. So
oh, wow.
I actually represent, so I've been very fortunate. I can't say his name because he prefers not to, but I quietly, once I got into this, I wanted to, I don't do anything half cocked, if you will. I go above and beyond, and I wanted to educate myself. I was fortunate enough to get a mentor of sorts that actually is the PR publicist to some very well-known fighters in the top five in all divisions, baseball players, one a world champion boxer, and some more. And so I actually have other clients that are within the UFC and Bellator that I've signed NDAs for because we do their brand strategy, but that's, you know, they don't. Aspen is more than happy to say who I am, but in reality, I'm the person that makes everything work, and right, you are the face. But with Chris Cyborg, so Chris Cyborg has an organization out in Brazil. It's her own promotion. And so Drip RX was a sponsor of Bellator. It's a new product.
Okay.
I created their website as well.
Oh, wow.
And with my partner, Bosavis.
Fantastic.
And so Cyborg, we were sponsoring, Drip RX is sponsoring all, everything from the Ring Girls to some money to product for her promotion in Brazil. In turn for her to represent at her Bellator fight, and then
okay,
she just liked the product, and
right,
so we worked very closely together. So I do her Instagram and her social ads when she's wearing Drip RX, so
okay,
I get the pictures and push it out
because she's doing lingerie and a bunch of other stuff, and it's really confusing to see Chris Cyborg in lingerie. I'm sorry, I just.
No, don't be
okay,
sorry.
But anyway,
all
I see
her is,
like,
is in a sweatband.
What is this? And it's like, oh no, Chris Cyborg. No, that's not a direction.
Well,
but anyway,
that's the point that you why you're having me on. I mean, you look at these athletes and they are going in different directions, and because they're just throwing stuff out, seeing a stick.
Right, like you said, Aspen Ladd, All American girl, clean.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Well, she's not polarizing.
Levels.
So here's the thing is, yeah, and hey, you've got right now, you've got polarizing athletes in the MMA. And meaning that you've got the overly sexualized for women, the characters
right,
that are disrespectful or they're playing a part. You've got the Colby Covingtons, the Conor McGregor. Sure. Nobody really stands for anything that's necessarily themselves. It
right,
is a playing a part and it's disrupting, but it's also polarizing. But hey, people tune in. And then you've got your LGBT. So
right,
with Aspen, I think it's safe to say that from a demographic, she pulls in you're not your average
right,
fight fan with the
exactly,
hiking and the dogs. But if you were to look at, you know, somebody that isn't polarizing, it would be a specimen like Aspen.
Okay. And so we got less than a minute left.
Oh.
I know it went by so fast.
Yeah, my God.
Okay, go ahead, Amanda. Thanks for coming on. But tell us all your social media contacts. There's 3 Instagrams, 2 YouTubes, 2 Twitters, and 2 websites. Go.
Well, Amanda England, Amanda Vegas 1 on Instagram. Aspen Lab is on Instagram. But Let's Be Epic is the Instagram for my business, and www.letsbeepic.com.
Okay, and. England Amanda 1 on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
To reach you. Well, again, Amanda, boy, that was really fast. I know we could have covered so much more with lessons learned. Well, lessons learned, how the business has evolved. Love to maybe get you back and we can go over some of those things again. We have a lot of content to cover. Again, thank you so much for coming on the show today. This is going to be great. Again, folks, this will be archived on the LA Talk Radio site here within a few minutes, and then it'll be on Apple Podcast and iHeartRadio and several other aggregators. Well, there it is. Another fantastic episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Of course, we can be seen at Concierge_Coaches on Instagram and Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. Be sure to follow us. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. So until next time, see you later. Be safe, everybody. Thanks, Amanda. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.